What's up? What's up, people? Everyone's having a good day, a good afternoon, a good morning. I am DJ Questman. I am your host. This is the Drive Podcast. It is October. And October, let me see here. What day is it? It's a Monday. 16th, right? Yeah, because 13, 14, 15. That's right, because it's Friday the 13th. This past Friday. Hope everyone had a good weekend. You know, enjoy yourself, relax a little bit. If you had to work and you're off today, you know, other people that have to work on weekends, my hat goes off to y'all. This episode is brought to you by ER Entertainment, your daily DJs. Your DJs that will do weddings, that will do little reunions, graduation parties, anything. For more information, email er.entertainment@gmail.com. That's er.entertainment@gmail.com. And their slogan is, not just any party, we rock ya. You get that? Not just any party, we rock ya. Shout out to DJs, the DJs, er.entertainment@gmail.com. Give them a shout out for a quote today. All right. I wanted to talk about Tim Tzu. Tim Tzu fought Mendoza. He retains his WBO Junior Middleweight Championship of the world. Now, he is the son of Costa Tzu, which was a light welterweight champion who beat a bunch of people. Zab Judah, he beat a lot of people. He was a great boxer from Australia, originally from, I want to say, Russia, and he moved to Australia when he was a kid, and a great fighter. He lost to Ricky Hatton, even though he was beating Ricky Hatton back in the day, and he just stopped fighting because Ricky Hatton was cluttering him. And Ricky Hatton ended up beating him, but he didn't know he was up in the cards. So sometimes you just never know what it is, but he was winning. He was winning the fight. And Ricky Hatton didn't know what to do. Of course, Ricky Hatton later on went on to get beat by Pacquiao and Mayweather. And, you know, he moved up too much in weight. He wasn't a 147 fighter. He was 140, easy. But a lot of people don't understand that a lot of boxers, when they fight, that's not their weight. They're losing weight. So, for example, Tim Tzu, who's fighting at 154, he's probably weighing like 170, and they drop all that weight. So it's interesting how that works with these boxers, that they lose all that weight. And with Terrence Crawford, shout out to Terrence Crawford, man. I told y'all, I've been telling y'all for years that he's the truth. Y'all don't want to listen. Y'all keep saying, well, he's all right. He hasn't fought anybody. What did he do to Errol Spence? He made Errol Spence look like an amateur. But I also heard that Errol Spence lost too much weight. You see, that's when it comes to that he couldn't make that 147 weight. And he's, you know, as you get older, you're going to gain weight. And it's kind of hard to lose it when you get older. So chances are he won't be fighting at 147. He's probably going to jump up to 154 middleweight. Probably ideal for him because he's a big frame. He's not a small guy. So he definitely he's just gave him a boxing clinic. And shout out to Errol Spence for giving Crawford a chance to fight for the Undisputed Championship. And now Crawford wants to fight Canelo. I don't know how far-fetched that is, but Crawford's going to have to fight him at 160, because I don't think Canelo wants to fight at 154, since he can't make that weight anymore. So, like, for Crawford, for him, he just will have to gain weight, because his walking weight is probably at 150, 160 maybe. You know, probably to fight at 154, it's not that bad for him, 6 pounds, or 160. He's probably walking weight 160, 162, around there. So it's not much that he has to shed. But other fighters have to shed a lot just to make weight. If they make weight, they get fined, the penalties, and all that stuff. So it's one of those things that you have to get your body prepared. And I think sometimes it's there should be a rule though with that. It's if you're that's your weight, fight your weight instead of losing weight. It's just because the thing is, you could get hydrated, dehydrated, and all things go into factor. So, but going back to Tim Tsui, I think it's the truth. I think he's going to be one of the fighters to see, I'm telling you. He couldn't put down Mendoza. He was hurting him. He just couldn't. But Mendoza was just a hard fighter. It's just, there's those fighters that couldn't, that they do, they just give you issues. And that fighter gave Tim Tsui Mendoza. Shout out to Mendoza. Gave Tsui problems. He's just very awkward fighter. He couldn't do anything. And sure enough, he did what he could to stay in, and they went all 12 rounds. I was telling my uncle, I was texting him, and I was like, he's always texting me on boxing, and I was like, this guy's the truth, and I wanted to text him back, and I'm like, man, I thought he was the truth, but I go, he is the truth. I was gonna say he is the truth, but couldn't put him away. Well, I mean, that's just like Tank couldn't put away Isaac Cruz, his last name is Cruz, I think. Yes, I was correct. Isaac Pitbull Cruz. He's definitely a great fighter. He gave Tank issues. And Tank couldn't put him away. Both the Tank hurt his hand fighting him, but he couldn't put away Pitbull. And that's just one of those things where you're like, well, I could go ahead and try to knock him out, or I have to hang in there with him. It's one of those things. But, getting back to Tim Tsui, I think he's going to be a phenomenal fighter. Or he already is a great fighter, but he's just going to get better. That's all. And you don't see his dad in the ring taking his spotlight. I had talked about on the previous episode. He's there. He's there in the audience, but he's not going to go into the ring. And that's different. You know, I've never seen that before. Usually, like Julio Cesar Chavez, he'll go in there with his son, or like any other dad. You know, Floyd Patterson. Well, Floyd Patterson was his fighter, so he had to be in there. But some fathers who are not the trainers of their sons, they go in the ring. Or like Floyd Mayweather's dad wasn't his trainer, so he'd go in there, but you know, he's not even going in there. He's just like standing back. So let's see what's next for him. Can he fight Canelo? Can he fight, he says he wants Charlo. So going back to Charlo fighting Canelo, oh my goodness, I kind of am shocked in words there, to tell you the truth. Charlo looked like he didn't want to fight. He looked like he was scared. And this is me looking out. I'm not putting anyone down. I give anybody props that gets in the ring. That's a matter of life and death when it comes to getting in the ring and boxing. It's a barbaric sport. A lot of people don't like it because they beat each other up, but it's a sport. And it's a sport that I used to do. I felt like almost he was kind of scared to trade punches with Canelo. Canelo did knock him down, I want to say once. I didn't see the whole fight. I kind of fell asleep. I was tired. I was watching the Astros that day and having too many brewskis that I, by the time the game started at 6, and I was crashed out by... Like the fight came on like at 11, and I was done. I was tired. I was dozing off. I just turned it off. I like watching boxing, but when the fight's not really good, I was just falling asleep because it felt like every time Canelo would come up to him and crowd him or even try to, you know, start hitting him, Charlo was training punches, but then not training punches, if it makes any sense. Like, it's almost like he was scared to get knocked down. And of course, Canelo ended up winning that fight. But I don't know. I think Canelo's a bigger fighter. So I'm not sure if they fought at 160. I want to say they either fought at 160 or they fought at 154. I think it was 160. But Charlo's a smarter guy. So, you know, he lost. And Canelo remained victorious. Now, does Canelo want to fight Bivol? I don't know. To get his get his revenge on the loss that he had from him? I don't know. I think he's too, I think, seeing this is crazy. I think Bivol is too big for Canelo. So, that's one of those things. But going back to Tim Tzu, I think he's going to be great. He's going to probably fight more fighters and win. And Australia, man, he's from Australia. He says he wants to start fighting in Vegas. He doesn't want to be fighting over there anymore and get more exposure. And that's fine. Go do what you got to do, man. Get in there and get into Vegas and get more exposure, because a lot of people don't know who he is. So, like, a lot of people didn't know who Terrence Crawford was at one point. I was like, this guy's the best. They're like, yeah, he's okay. He hasn't fought anybody. Errol Spence is better. I'm like, okay. I said it like 2018 and no one believed me. I was like telling people, like, this guy is going to be the best. Was I right or was I right? I should have put in Vegas. Like, man, give me, I'm going to put $2,000 that this guy's going to become the undisputed champ again. Straight up bet, if they even have that type of bet. Like, he'll become a welterweight undisputed champ in like 3 years. You know, like, give it a time frame. But I know, like, the way bets go, like, you can, like, bet, like, a year in advance, you know. But I don't know if you could do 3 years out. That'd have been cool, though. That's a... going to Vegas, how about Caesar's Palace and MGM getting hacked? So, did you guys hear about that? The MGM getting hacked last month? So, what happened was these hackers that pretended to be an employee of MGM, and they have done ransom. They did it to Caesar's Palace, but Caesar's Palace paid the ransom, which I think was like $15 million or something like that. So anyways, these hackers, one of them called pretending to be an employee. They must have went on LinkedIn and looked an employee out, looked an employee up, and somehow got that person's email. And they put, you know, and they were able to go into, I think also when you do that, you got to be careful or be mindful if you're on LinkedIn to not put your work email. And I'm sure people do have their work emails on there, and that's probably how that happened. So what happened was that these hackers, one of them pretended to be an employee of MGM, that were trying to log into the employee portal, and they had to reset the password. So somehow they might have hacked into that person's email, because whenever you do have to log into a portal and any type of employment, you have to, and then you reset your password, they give you like a link. So I think that someone had already hacked into this email, so that they were able to log into that portal and set off Frick, and they got into their servers and sent off a ransomware. Pretty much it hosts everything that is in that system ransom, and you have to have an encryption to get it unlocked. So what MGM did is shut down all their servers, so everybody in Vegas couldn't gamble. You couldn't even gamble on the mobile app, because you can gamble on the mobile app on sports, on the sports book. So you get in that. You couldn't go into your hotel room. You couldn't check in. Like, everything was just like shut down. The slots were shut down. I don't know if the tables were still running, because that's not run by the computer. But I'm sure there were, because some people that are players that spend a lot of money, they have their card, their player's card, and they get a scan, so that way they can get credit on what they're playing. But anyways. They go and they gamble. You can't gamble. So you're trying to go into the table and you can't gamble. Otherwise, you know, because of everything's run through computers. So people couldn't get into their room. So it was just a mess. And so every day that this was happening, the MGM Resorts was losing about $10 million a day or something crazy. And I don't know exactly what they did, if they shut down all their servers and put in new ones, But I don't know if they even paid that ransom. But yeah, it was crazy. And it was like for almost 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks that it was shut down. So whatever was affiliated with MGM, they were also shut down. So it was a big dent into that, that company. And then also people and that employees like that were working, like it was a mess. And that's one thing I will say, like, I do like our technology, but one little thing and everything can go down. Like, someone can hack into Verizon or to T-Mobile and you're done. Like, you can't call no one because they're holding that system in ransom. And so every day, every year, companies spend millions. On cyber attacks to try not to get hacked. And it's unfortunate for the MGM to have gone through that, and hopefully in the future they'll be more attentive and be able to deviate or stop whatever's going on with the cyber attacks. I always thought, like, man, one little attack, someone can attack the lights, like the electricity, you know, like electricity company, and boom, shut everything down, and you ain't got no lights. Or someone can attack a bank and freeze all the assets, and you ain't got no money. Like, how are you gonna get your money out? Your card don't work, nothing works. And, you know, that's why these banks, they're definitely on it. They're on their P's and Q's, but for every bank, there's gonna be like 20 hackers trying to get in. So like, it's just a lot. But, you know, and some of, and they were from Russia, supposedly, this hacker too. They weren't even from here. So that just goes to show you that these hackers are just getting smarter and smarter. And, yeah, so that was that story right there. But anyways, thank you for listening to this episode. Tune in to the next episode. I was talking about Tim Sue, Canelo, I was talking about Crawford, but on some boxing. Thank you for listening, y'all. Peace.